It's time for the first hour of the Dr. and Mrs. Future program.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Dr. and Mrs. Future Show, and we have Bobby Wilder in San Francisco. Welcome, gang.
Thank you. Yeah. Great to
always
be here.
Great to join you guys.
Glad you're here. And we probably are sharing the weather with you today, where it's very foggy here in Santa Cruz.
Yes, it is foggy today. The last couple of days were pretty sunny, though. But hey, did you see the launch last night?
You know, I forgot to go out and look. It was 8:55 p.m.
I didn't either, and so I was wondering, maybe you're closer to Vandenberg than I am. So
You know, we can see it sometimes, and we might have been able to see it last night, but I was otherwise engaged, sadly. But my friend Don Davis, who's been on our show in the past, an amateur astronomer and a space artist, published some really nice pictures that he got from down near Palm Springs area. So pretty nice shot. I think we probably could have seen, if there's anybody out in the audience that did see the Vandenberg launch of the Starlink that happened last night at 8:55, please let us know. We're kind of curious what you might have seen in this area.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of exciting that they put these new satellites that have, now they can communicate to each other through lasers, space lasers, they call them.
Yeah, and that's supposed to be better latency delay.
Yeah, exactly. So it's from satellite to satellite. Instead of traditionally you go out to a geosynchronous orbit and back and forth, back and forth, and there's a time delay.
Right.
And so this will speed up everything.
And we're off and running here. That's one of our stories, the Starlink. For those, the uninitiated, Starlink is a low Earth orbit internet system put up by Elon Musk and SpaceX for the purpose of having low latency, high bandwidth Wi-Fi anywhere on the planet. It's really quite something, quite amazing. Much to the chagrin of many astronomers and amateur astronomers who find the lights annoying of the satellites. But what price progress do we pay? And this is one of them. So pretty cool.
Yeah.
In other news, we have a countdown going on with Inspiration 4, Mission to Space. I don't know how many of you have seen this on Netflix, but there's a docuseries of the first all-civilian orbital spaceflight that's happening tomorrow. And there's been a series on Netflix documenting this whole process. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty heartwarming to see how they put this civilian mission together and did it as a demonstration of all good things human. They have the four passenger seats dedicated to hope, inspiration, generosity, and entrepreneurship. And each of those seats was selected in a different way. And they used the whole campaign to raise hundreds of millions of dollars for St. Jude's Hospital.
200 million. They're putting up, and whatever else the rest of the viewers contribute to St. Jude's.
Right. And one of the people going up is this very sweet nurse from St. Jude's Hospital who started out there as a cancer patient when she was 10 years old. And she just is somebody who warms your heart. You know, she loves her dogs and her friends, and she's a nurse, and she's just cheerfulness incarnate. She's lovely.
Yes, very bubbly.
Yeah.
So. And this is going to be something else. This it kind of reminds me when I was a kid and we saw the John Glenn shot in 1962. And that was all about orbiting the Earth for the first time with living astronaut in it. And so this is...
Right. This is humanity 2.0. We're going to be orbiting the Earth. And this time it's a couple of ladies and a couple of men. And they're all civilians.
Yeah. Four civilians, no astronauts. 50 years of technology. took us to this point.
Yeah.
That's how hard space is, by the way.
Well, and yet it shows you the cliche about how we stand on the shoulders of those who went before us. We have accomplished so much in the last 50 years and in the last however far you want to go back.
And if you listen to Ray Kurzweil, it's going to increase in speed as we approach the singularity where things changing happen faster and faster.
Yeah, well, you know, I think there are way more interesting human projections of the future than Mr. Singularity. I think he's a little tech nerd, and he's a little too enamored with gadgets, and I'm really looking for the Age of Aquarius where humans are using their mastery of technology to steward the Earth with more care.
Mm. I see the changes we're facing in the disruptions in culture and society. I subscribe more to the punctuated equilibrium theory.
What does that mean?
That's a understanding of evolution in terms of how change happens in spurts. You know, suddenly there'll be a whole bunch of changes and then it'll be smooth for a while, and then bum, 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 then a bunch of changes and smooth again for a while.
Right.
Kind of like that. And we're in one of those punctuated periods right now.
Yes. Well, some people will call it a die-off. I think the past is giving up the ghost and the future is being invented faster than we can realize.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
And the movement to online behavior mm-hmm. has been dramatic in the last year, and it's pushed the boundaries of what we do online and connecting with each other. And we're going to get used to that, to connecting on a global scale. It'll push us faster towards being global citizens mm-hmm. and beginning to see the planet as a whole and think that way in terms of our own comprehension of the dynamics on this planet.
Sure. And you and I have always seen the positive aspects of all of this unfolding new era of humanity. And we're not in the dystopian matrix mindset that somehow we're going to give up our humanity and serve as slaves to a big machine. We actually are creating something that extends our reach behalf of nature.
I think so. The dystopian is actually one of the punctuated points, you know, the change. What seems like it's bad ultimately is good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you can always lament what is lost, but you may as well balance that out by celebrating what is gained.
Exactly. So with that in mind, we shall proceed to the next story.
Right after this break.
Okay.
Doctor.
Right after this classic break.
Future.
Of traditional
Bobby,
media.
Be wild. DrFutureShow.com for the links. And we'll be talking all things Apple.
That's at 2:30.
2:30. After a few more headlines.
Taylor comes into the studio. Right, Taylor? You come in then. Yeah, he's here. No, we ignore him till 2:30. Okay, folks, welcome back to the show. You know what's fascinating is that we have all this high-tech stuff going on, but at the same time, we also have some really great new low-tech that's happening as well. And to what I refer to there as the Better Than Batteries piece that we looked at this week. It's about a startup that just raised $100 million. And how are they spending the money? They're building a prototype that stores energy in concrete blocks. It's not solar.
Yeah, what does that mean?
It's not
that
wind.
Sounds like somehow these blocks are becoming electric, but I know that's not what it means.
No. It's a form of renewable energy. It's a startup called Energy Vault. V-A-U-L-T, Energy Vault.
Right.
They have a unique storage method. And the idea was inspired by an old concept called pumped hydro.
Pumped hydro.
That's been around since the 20s.
Yeah?
Well, that was a technique where you use surplus generating energy in the day to pump water up to a reservoir. And then you slowly release the water and it flows down through turbines and generates electricity. Like conventional hydropower.
Oh, it almost sounds like a windmill.
Kind of, but you pump up the water when it's easy, and then and it flows down when you need the power.
So what you're storing then is the things that you've lifted. You're using the solar power to lift weights, and then
wind power,
at night when there's no sun or wind, then the weights are turned into gravity that
slowly drops
and generates power.
Yeah, heavy solid blocks and a tall tower. Think heavy blocks and a tall tower. And it's like winding them up and when you have the power. It goes, gets those blocks to the top, and they slowly drop. And as they're dropping, they generate energy for turning turbines, for example, and generating electricity.
I have to say, I think that this art, the photo and the video in this article are really interesting. It's a really beautiful design. It sort of reminds me of simple. Back to the Future. It's very steampunk.
High-tech caveman.
Right.
Take rock up. Let the rock drop. Go.
Slowly drop. Sounds like how some clocks run, you know?
Yeah, it is kind of clock-like because these things are on cables. The cable is yanking the weight up and down.
They're heavy blocks. In this case, their prototype is 35 tons, 70,000 pounds.
Each block?
Yeah. The blocks are made up of composite material, soil, locally sourced waste. And actually, they can include anything from concrete, debris, coal ash, decommissioned car parts, wind turbine blades. Yeah.
They landfill could be compost stuff. Bins.
Yeah, anything that's heavy. Of course, you want the heaviest. If you're, super high tech, you want like lead or...
Well, I like the idea that they're
gold.
As kind of a living system where you upgrade it over time because it's part of the life cycle, right? It doesn't have to just be one machine that runs until it breaks and then it's just this dead eyesore. You should have something that becomes part of the ecosystem in the landscape, right? Like compost.
I don't think that way, Mrs. Future, so I'm very happy you put that idea out there. Yeah, I think that could be quite aesthetic.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, anything that gives us lifelike habits as opposed to machine-like habits, I think is going to be good for our evolution.
Mm. Well, this one has six arms, if you consider that, biological.
Sure. Sort of insectoid.
They're controlled by fully automated software. They are able to generate 80 megawatts of power with a continuous discharge of 4 to 8 megawatts for 8 to 16 hours.
And that's enough for a neighborhood, say, right?
Well, megawatts. Okay, like our house, we have
a pretty
big house. Mm-hmm. We do maybe 10 kilowatts a day.
Yeah.
I think it's going down, though, because I think our household utilities, our devices, are becoming more energy efficient. Refrigerators have gotten way better, for example.
Right.
Which also brings up the idea that maybe this kind of technology could be made in a smaller form for more of a neighborhood or individual house basis.
Yeah. Oh, I like that idea. Yeah. Imagine creating something that's sort of a wind fountain in your back that generates some power.
A tower with six arms. Everyone gets power.
So this is a challenge for the artists in Santa Cruz to come up with something that's aesthetic that you'd like to see in your backyard operating with the wind and the sun and some water and having these weights on pulleys going up and down with the weather.
Metal garbage only. I only want your metal.
This would be great at Burning Man, art installation.
Sure.
Yeah. Demonstrator power of the playa.
Yeah, power an air conditioner.
A power the playa tower. That would be cool.
A power tower. I like it.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a game changer in many respects. It is part of the transition to what it's being called green energy.
Yeah. Well, small hybrid and moving parts that are accessible to regular humans as opposed to chips, which you have to appeal to the AIs to let you know what the problem is.
Yeah. Well, we still need the AIs to balance the load between all the different towers that will no doubt arise as this. And also it seems like it's a good type of, even for the Armageddon periods of punctuated equilibrium here, when things are tough, they would be the way to generate power because they don't require much sophistication.
Mm-hmm. So you think the AIs would approve of them as their primitive ancestors of batteries?
One day, maybe. Yeah, I think they will likely do simple things like load balancing algorithms and stuff like that initially. But who knows? One day they might have their own consciousness and negotiate a deal with us.
Are we still talking about these power generators, or are we talking about AIs now?
Well, I'm trying to inquire. Well, your concept of AIs makes everything smart, right? So you got to think of how power generation itself becomes intelligent as a process And that would be, I'm thinking that happened in the human cells. You know, we have the mitochondria inside our cells, and they generate energy for us as beings. And at one time, they were separate. They weren't part of the human cell structure or mammal, warm-blooded mammals. They allowed us to be warm-blooded rather than be like the lizards and be cold-blooded. So they made a deal. You know, there was an evolutionary deal that was made a long
time
ago.
We'll keep you warm, honey, if you just don't kill us.
Be warm-blooded, and yeah, and you'll be able to live when the lizards are sleeping. You know, be able to live in colder climates. What do you say? A deal. We made the deal, or biology made the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Billions of years ago. So.
Wow. You think that's when we went from a unisex life form to a multisex kind of life form?
You know, that's a good question, Mrs. Future. I think you need to research that.
Well, I've heard that from the 23andMe that the mitochondrial DNA is used to trace the female lineage. And
that's right.
The male lineage is using other factors.
What do you know about that, Bobby?
Well, yeah, it's interesting what the matriarchal lineage is and then the patriarchal lineage. And it's based on the X or the Y chromosome DNA. It's interesting. Most of the information or the better parts of your genes actually come from the matriarchal lineage.
And that's
oh, really? What makes them better?
There's more information there, apparently, because the Y chromosome is actually shorter.
Right, you know, it's missing a leg.
Yeah, it's missing a leg.
It's so funny how the opposite of humans, where the guys have an extra one. But
right.
Anyway.
Exactly. But it is interesting to follow the matriarchal lineage of your family.
And from what? That's the mitochondrial DNA, then.
Right. But it's interesting, you know, in the Jewish religion...
You're only Jewish if your mother was Jewish.
Yeah. But it's interesting is the Cohens and the Davids, which are the priests, and they have to have the patriarchal lineage in order to follow that family line, you know? But it's interesting, yeah.
Oh, they have to have both?
Well,
because they don't have the mother, they can forget about it entirely, but if they have both, then they're...
You're right, they have to have both. But I think the family line goes through the father, far as their name, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well then, that deal then might be made again if we bring AIs into the equation and they make our energy system intelligent. So if energy, all the computers that run the distribution of power on the planet became self-aware, they would run the power and they would make a deal with everyone who wants it, which would include us, or mostly us initially.
Very interesting.
Anyway, so that's...
What do the AIs want with us?
Sci-fi. That's,
they want our agreement to use power wisely.
Well, it's a good idea to think about these things
before they happen. Use it efficiently, don't waste it, share it, make sure everybody has enough. These are the things the AIs want for us.
Well,
right?
It's what we want for us. Bucky Fuller, when he was defining the Earth as a whole organism back in the 70s, talked about how if we were getting along with the Russians really well, if we shared resources, we would be very efficient to have a power grid across the Bering Straits that connected the two countries. That would massive amounts of power could be shared because both countries have energy resources that could easily be shareable.
Do you think that those words, power sharing, will ever be spoken in a way that people actually love the idea?
Well, a lot of people do.
Instead of where it's just divisive.
A lot of people do.
You know, assuming that you're in alignment with your enemy.
Actually, I think more people want to share than want to fight.
I hope so. Let's hope the words can catch
up. Actually, that's just that if you think of it as a war model, then you create that in your way that you observe the world. That's like, well, there's a whole example that I was just reading about yesterday, as a matter of fact, about how mycelial networks feed an entire forest and help them exchange oxygen and other molecules really well. Anyway, more on that after the break.
Yeah.
Actually, we are going to have our Apple tech review
after
the break.
Okay. Well, okay. Save it for after
Taylor
three
Barcroft.
Then.
Yes. Be right
back. Apple. Grill and Bar.
I was blind. Yeah, running down a dream that never would come to me. Working on a mystery.
Okay. In terms of interesting tech news, we had a big thing from Apple this morning. I don't know how many of you folks caught it. Do you see that, Bobby? 10 o'clock?
Yeah.
All right.
It was a great, the intro was amazing.
Wasn't it? Yeah, cinematic, downright cinematic. Because they own Apple TV, they're really into cinema these days, and it really shows. And to tell you all about it, we have our Apple pro here, Taylor Barcroft, in the studio.
Who always joins us when there's a big Apple announcement.
Always.
Because he pays attention to
Hello, Dr. Future and Mrs. Future.
Welcome to the studios.
Okay, let's go in order of the presentation.
You don't need to read.
Everybody's going to watch the presentation.
Yeah, they are going to watch it. But we
and
don't...
everybody's going to watch all kinds of comments, so we don't have to be in detail.
No, well,
but
we just have
I just
to talk
want to make sure
it.
Everybody knows that if they don't have Apple TV Plus for $49 a year, they're out of their minds. It's the best deal in pay TV. It's a service.
Oh, a service.
In addition to the hardware.
That Apple TV Plus.
Lots of exclusive shows with all kinds of famous stars. They've got 500 Emmy nominations and 200 wins already or something like that. It's crazy. Anyway, I just want to give a big plug for Apple TV Plus. Pay TV service.
And what is
it? By the year, it's only $49. That's $4.25 a month. It's ridiculously low.
You know, they should really give you a referral link so that you just give out the address and you get a kickback.
No, I don't do that.
No, that's he's not an entrepreneur on that front.
I'm not like that. I'm not even on YouTube.
That's why it works for us.
Okay, so that's part. I went. They're currently in 35 Emmy nominations, which are going to be given out on Sunday. So look out.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of their Emmy shows?
I love Ted Lasso, and the rest I'm waiting. Foundation's going to be incredible.
Oh, the science fiction series is supposed to be amazing. Isaac Asimov's Foundation. Oh my God. Yeah, they also had the Morning Show, which is a big hit. It actually won awards.
Finch, starring Tom Hanks, is coming up. Anyway, let's not spend too much time on that.
Okay,
they started with the iPad.
Right.
Okay, so it's the 9th generation iPad.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be running on the A13 Bionic, which is 2 years old.
Mm-hmm. So there's a 15 is out now. And this is the inexpensive A13. iPad. This,
yeah,
this is the cheap one.
Yeah,
right?
This is the original iPad. It's only $329 for 64 gigabytes.
So this is what you get at the low end.
I just love this report. There are more numbers per square sentence than anywhere else in radio.
Well, it means something. You know, guys like numbers, Mrs. Future. They actually mean something
to us.
Okay,
it's 12-megapixel ultra-wide camera. Center stage from the iPad Pro.
Center stage allows the camera to track the motion in the shot.
Yeah, what you see on the screen is not really the whole camera, so that when you move, it
tracks you.
It tracks the person.
Yeah. It looks like it's tracking.
It's a 122-degree shot, so you're only seeing about 90 of it.
Right, but it gives you the illusion of tracking.
It's got True Tone. It only supports the first-generation pencil still.
They said that, but I'm not sure I believe that.
Yeah, first-generation. That's what they
said. Because I looked at the video on it, and it looked like the second generation.
No, they said first-generation.
They said that.
No, it is first-generation. It's the cheap one. It's the low expense.
All right, let's move
on.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, the big star of the show, that's 10.2, by the way, 10.2 inches on the original, stays that way. Okay, now, the star of the show was the iPad Mini. They completely revolutionized the iPad. It's like the iPad Mini is now like an iPad Pro, except it's small.
Yeah.
It's got stereo. Nothing but the Pro has stereo. Now the iPad Mini has stereo. It's an 8.3-inch screen. It runs on the A15 processor. It runs on the brand new processor, which has 15 billion transistors. And it does 15 trillion with a T, instructions per second.
It's amazingly fast.
Incredibly fast and powerful. And it supports the Pencil 2.
Yeah, that was surprising to me. They would do 2.
And then, center stage, USB-C. Are you turning me down?
Well, you're really loud. You really.
I'm
really.
Just making sure you don't go into the red zone.
Okay, USB-C. I'll try to tone it down.
You can have more of your NPR voice.
Your enthusiasm is.
It's got an 8.3-inch
crackling
screen with A15 USB-C.
No, okay, louder than that.
Stereo,
louder. That's not, a little bit more. But you're still sounding like a robot. Slow down.
Wi-Fi 6 and 5G.
Okay, which one is this?
Training the AI.
This is the Mini. They crippled the Mini by only offering 64 gig or 256 of storage.
Yeah.
iPad Mini, they crippled it by not having a large amount of storage.
So what's the top end, 256?
That's the only thing that they did to cripple it.
256 is the high end?
Yeah. There's only two available sizes, 64 or 256.
Yeah, so get the 256 if you're getting it. But
well,
the other advantage
obviously.
Is, but what was interesting to me was that the iPad mini was more expensive than the low-end iPad.
Well, of course. It always has been.
Okay, well, that's news to many.
$499.
Putting myself.
No, well,
$499.
Just you, is that less is more? To prices.
Less yeah. is more.
Yeah, it's 8.3 inches. And oh, this is interesting. The bezels are all black. No matter what color you choose, the yeah. bezels are all black. There's no white bezels in the new iPad mini.
I wonder why.
Because it looks fantastic.
It's the look. Yeah, look. Okay.
Well, no, not just the look. It's just easier to make. Mass market, one thing. They don't have to have multiple colors.
Yeah, it's got advantages there, for
cuts
sure.
Cuts costs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, and it's 4K recording. It does 4K recording.
Uh-huh. And does it have a decent camera?
Yeah, it's got a 12-megapixel camera, and that's all I can tell you. It's 500 nits is the maximum brightness. Touch ID is on the wake button, like the Air 4. That's the second iPad to have Touch ID on the wake button.
That sounds good. I mean, I think a lot of people yeah. are going to want that, probably even more than the low-end iPad.
Yeah, I'm interested in it. I've been waiting for a big change to the iPad mini. I have a broken-down iPad Mini 2, which is it's all bloated.
I think the battery blew up. I think the Mini 2 is pretty good for reading, like Kindle.
Yeah,
stuff
it's got the Retina.
And but, Netflix movies.
Well, let's not talk about ancient history, okay?
Okay,
all right,
okay.
Apple
okay.
Watch Series 7 is the next one.
Yeah.
Now, that's not going to be available till later this fall. But what they didn't say yeah. is what processor is in it.
Mm.
They didn't say... And they took away gold from the aluminum okay. line. Now you've got to pay an extra $300 to get gold in stainless steel.
Oh, that's terrible. But, okay, so this is Apple Watch.
If you want a gold Series Apple Watch, 7. I would suggest that you go get a Series 6 aluminum gold Apple Watch as soon as possible before the 7 comes out so they still can you can still find it. You can still order it from Apple if you want. Or there are other ways to order it for less money, but I'm not going to talk about that.
Yeah, so you still you don't feel like the evolution of the 7 isn't much better than the
7. The 7, faster charging, 30%. It's already charging at 90 minutes. What do you want?
Okay, it's not
impressed. What do you want to charge it 15 minutes or something? It's crazy.
Yeah, got it.
Okay. So there's really nothing.
No, okay, we'll move on.
The
move
Watch
on.
OS 8
yeah.
has got all the changes in the watch are in Watch OS 8, not in the hardware. There's a little bit of difference. The screen is bigger and... It just doesn't make... It's not that much different.
Okay, so the 6, if you have a 6, don't even worry
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, I have 5 and 6, because I bought the 6 because of the blue color, which looks like black, and now you can't get gold. I would have to buy a 6 gold if I'm going to stay with aluminum, or I got to pay an extra $300 to get a gold stainless steel.
Not forget,
well, I'm going to wait another year for stainless steel, so they have more measurement. There's going to be a lot more measurement tricks in the next one.
So I have a series.
Probably glucose monitoring for one thing.
Yeah, I'd like to see more medical applications.
Yeah, that's what's coming next year,
I think. This has an O2 monitor on it, so you could check your oxygen.
Yeah, but so does the 6. There's no difference between the 7 and the 6 as far as...
Feature set is the same, though.
Yeah, features... Basically, yeah, and they bragged about the bicycle stuff. That's all in the software. That's nothing to do with Series 7.
Mm-hmm. So
that's going to be in the Series 6 and 5 and 4.
Gotcha. But if you're going to buy a new one, you're saying get a Series 6 before the 7s come on because they basically do the same
They're
thing
They're on
for less.
Sale, yes. And you can get a gold one. That's the main thing. There's no gold Series 7.
Yeah.
They have a thing what they call Starlight. It's a goldish silver.
Yeah.
It's a goldish silver. It's just
silver
off,
and gold.
Just
wow.
a little bit silver, wow. just off silver uh-huh. towards gold, but not enough to look like gold at all.
Oh, okay.
And they have a new green Series 7, looks like black. Same wow. deal as blue.
It's sort of dark.
Yeah, you got to either have a red one or this starlight.
If
otherwise,
really
it's black, green,
color.
And blue. They all look like black.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it's red.
Little tips on...
Yeah,
on,
red would be the only way to go if you like red.
Your fashion
you can get, considerations. You can get a red Series 7. If you don't care about gold, then you can get Series 7 and...
Go with
I don't
that.
Know.
Yeah.
What to, get red.
Okay, well, don't worry about it. Okay,
yeah, okay.
That.
Now we're in the iPhone 13.
Okay, the 13 is really the main product, right? This was...
Main product.
Yeah.
20% smaller notch. Whoopee!
Well, that is a big deal.
800 nits.
Yeah.
1200 nits in HDR.
Uh-huh.
It's the A15 Bionic, like the Mini. like the iPad Mini.
Wasn't the Pro?
That's a 15 nanometer, 15 billion transistor processor that runs at 15.8 trillion operations per second.
Like I care. Well, I do.
Yeah, like anybody cares.
Yeah.
Who cares?
The main thing is, how does it compare to last year's model?
Way more light, much better in low light, 50% more light.
So it's better in low light.
And they got cinematic mode where it will automatically change focus according to what's the principal thing on the screen. And plus, you can change focus in post. Huh? How about that one?
Well, that is pretty cool.
Yeah, you can change the bokeh effect in the original and still focus on the distant object in post.
They did a very nice.
You editors love that, don't you?
Love
that,
I love it. Be able to change the focus. That. Let's do a close-up of Mrs. Future.
That's why you want it, right?
Close-up of Mrs. Future. And then cut over to she looks at the clock, close-up on the clock.
Yeah, if the person in the scene looks away, it automatically refocuses on the distant objects.
Yes. Yes. So
it's a miracle.
It's using the AI for determining what you want to be in focus.
Uh-oh, we have to go to a commercial break.
Yeah. Yeah. She's excited about the camera. That's one of the main things. We'll get a little bit more into that after the break. Thanks. We'll see you in a few. Okay, welcome back to the show. Yeah, we were just talking during the break, but what people really want to know about the Apple products, which ones to buy comes to mind.
Well, it really depends on the person.
It does. It does. That's why we have to look at a few different points of view. Like, what would an elderly person want, for example? A big screen, right? And the new ones.
It really depends on the person. If they might not want the big screen.
Well, if you do.
Like it. You can still get the Mini. There's still a 13 Mini. And the batteries are all bigger. On all the iPhone 13s.
So they'll last
13s.
Longer in terms of, so that's
better,
they'll
last an hour or two longer depending on which model.
Okay.
And if you're... You get 2.5 hours more on the 13 Pro Max.
So that's the longest?
We haven't started talking about the Pros yet.
No,
we've only been talking about the regular ones.
No, what's the standard ones? There's still interesting cameras, though, right?
Yes, the sensor shift optical image stabilization is on all of the cameras now.
Which was only on the high end last year.
It was only on the top of the line. Right,
now it's in the mid-range.
Right.
Or the low end. This is really low end iPhone starting at $499?
No.
$599?
No.
$699? What's quick?
The Mini is $699, the regular is $799, but they all start at 128 gig of storage.
Which is.
And you get 256 or 512 on the 13 and the 13 Mini, and you can go to a terabyte on the Mini Pro and Mini Pro Max.
That's the best.
Now let's talk about the Mini Pro and the Mini Pro Max.
Yeah, especially if you're cinematic-oriented, right?
Make sure you know they have MagSafe, and they can all record 4K video at 60 frames per second in HDR.
What is MagSafe?
MagSafe is where you hook up
wireless.
Some kind of
charging,
wireless charging.
I love it.
Still has Lightning connector.
Yeah.
Which is the way to go.
Oh, yeah. That's the standard Apple connectors, the Lightning.
Yeah,
Suppose the USB-C,
USB. I forgot to tell you, the USB-C is on the new Mac Mini. That's why I'm saying the Mac Mini is like a Mini Pro.
That's the one, huh? Wow.
It's got stereo. It's got the C.
It's got
a miracle.
Second generation pencil support.
Yeah. They're giving them away, too, for $499. It's a steal of a deal.
The most
you can spend on a Mini is $899.
What do you use?
Including the cellular.
Sweet.
What do you use to listen to your music with the Mini?
Bluetooth. Yeah, normally you hook up the Bluetooth. Yeah, there's no line. No, they haven't. They took away
Mrs. Future.
Yeah.
I know.
You can do that. You can hardwire it with a C dongle.
Yeah. Yeah, you could get an audio card.
It's either a C dongle or an A dongle with a C hub.
There's always a way.
You can hardwire it still, but that's what Bobby's trying to figure that out. He called me up at the last minute to figure out his mics. He's got mic problems.
Well, it did. Okay. Sounds like he's fine now.
I got it to work, finally. But thanks, Taylor. You helped
me out. No problem. I got here before Al so I could open the door for him.
Yeah, it's true. He was here first.
All right. 13 Pro and 13 Pro Max. There's a new color, Sierra Blue. Oh, boy. What do you use? Blue? Pacific Blue, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Al's got the 12 Pro Max.
Yeah.
Just keep it.
Yeah, I like it.
Keep it till the 14.
I have LiDAR. I don't know if the new one has.
I have 10S Max, and I'm waiting for the 14.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get rid of the notch.
See, I got the 12 because it had several things. It had 5G and also had LiDAR.
We don't have 5G in Santa Cruz.
Well, I'm not always in Santa Cruz, dude.
Oh, really?
Really?
I had no idea.
Yeah.
You travel. What a concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a homebody now. Yeah. I wouldn't travel anywhere. I don't want to get COVID.
Yeah.
Okay, 5-core GPU.
Yeah.
Super Retina XDR. Mm. Oh, it's got ProMotion. The Pro models have ProMotion that runs as slow as 10 gigahertz per second. Up to 120 gigahertz
now, per second. Now, this is the screen refresh speed? Okay, and now why is that important?
If you're scrolling, it automatically speeds up the ProMotion, so you get 120.
You want a higher number if you're watching
video. If
you're
scrolling.
Or scrolling, because you want instant response to your touch.
But if you're not, if nothing's moving, it drops down to 10 hertz.
Yeah, if you're just staring at your screen, it doesn't waste CPU power or battery power on
exactly
supporting high
and it goes up to 1,200 nits.
That's very bright.
And it's got incredible macro.
Can you see that well, 1,200 nits and the sunlight? Do you ever try that?
Probably. No, I haven't tried it.
No.
I never go out. Okay, all three lenses have night mode.
Which means low light camera
low
action.
Super low light.
For both video and
still. And there are photographic styles now. You can, Mrs. Future, you can have a style as the way you shoot your video. So
yeah,
everybody knows it's
those
from
things.
You.
I never like styles. They always seem to me
it's
to
new.
Degrade the quality.
No, this is a
it's
new
all
thing.
New.
This is a new
it's
thing.
It's called filters in the past.
No, well.
Right now they call it style.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
You get 2.5 hours longer on battery in the Pro Max.
Over
and
what?
There's ProRes video coming.
Over last year's or
it's not going to be included
regular
with it to begin with, but there's going to be a software update.
Taylor, one question. The battery life is longer, 2 hours longer than what? Last year's model?
Yeah, 2.5 hours longer than the 12. Pro Max.
Okay, not the lower end. Year's model.
Yeah, last
of
year's
the same.
Yeah, that's a downside
iPhone
for you. But it's not
Max.
Worth it to wait for the.
It's
14.
Just a little longer battery.
Recommending. Yeah. I got a 10S Max, okay. And I'm waiting for the 14.
How about LiDAR? My 12 has LiDAR.
Yeah, they all have LiDAR.
They do. Okay, yeah, so the new one has. So they didn't even mention it. Today,
take it for granted, I guess.
Okay.
There's LiDAR in the Pro and the Pro Max, but there is not LiDAR in the 13 and 13 Mini.
Okay. Yeah, I expect that. All right,
but there is Face ID.
LiDAR is
and they all have center stage,
future
which
media,
is really cool.
Future media, like virtual reality, augmented reality filming. So the 13 Pro, if you have a 12, you don't need to go. You
oh,
don't
no.
need to upgrade.
Wait for the 14.
But what if you have
I have 10S Max, and
Mrs.
I'm waiting
Future,
for the 14.
Mrs.
I'm
not, Future has a 10.
Oh, she not even a 10S?
A 10X.
10S, right? The X, the single X. There's no S after the X, right?
You want me to show you?
It's
yeah,
the small
yeah, just,
one, right?
Yeah.
It's the little teeny 10.
Yeah, you'd upgrade with if you have a 10. Or
of course. She's a filmmaker. Are you kidding? She should definitely upgrade.
Yeah. Hear that, Mrs. Future?
But that's different.
I've been using a video camera.
That's a different point of view.
How
yeah,
retro.
Yeah, I was going to say. She's probably shooting with a much more sophisticated camera than whatever Apple could put in a phone.
Well, there's something to be said for making
a
professional-looking phone.
Apple software is incredible.
Looking film with a camera.
Apple software is
iPhone.
Incredible. So you may be able to shoot better video with an Apple 13 Pro Max than you can with whatever camera you're using because of the ability of the A15 processor to process that video in real time.
So finally, we're getting the processor speeds necessary for doing 4K filming.
Yeah, so a year before this. So you definitely, filmmaker, you should do it. But only the Pro Max, not, don't skip
iPhone
on the Pro.
X.
Huh?
iPhone X.
It's not X, it's X. It's 10. That's a Roman numeral X.
The other thing on cameras.
10S Max.
That I thought was interesting.
A year later after that one.
Was a feature they said called macro. Now, high-end
they got a lot of
cameras
macro
use macro all the time.
Yeah.
I love macro.
It's
telephoto, so you can get really good
it's got
close-up.
The macro. You can use the telephoto. It's got optical image stabilization. And
on
they,
macro.
And they all have that moving optical image stabilization. What the hell is it called?
So it's really progressed a long ways in having better image stabilization, sort of counteracting your nervous system.
Sensor shift. Sensor shift, they call it.
Sensor shift.
And that's on all of them.
Uh-huh. Okay, and what's it called to be able to change the focus, the depth of field on the fly?
That's a bokeh look.
Yeah, so you can literally touch a
which
different...
Which fuzzes the rear. That's when
parts
you're on FaceTime, you can...
And
the FaceTime,
in
you can have your background fuzzed.
Yeah.
In
yeah,
real
there's,
time
a, there's a new feature
with an M1
processor.
iPad Pro.
Yeah, there's a...
Now it's on the phone.
There's a new feature on Zoom I've noticed where it's called Blur, and it blurs the background behind you, and it makes it much more aesthetic.
In what?
In the Zoom, when I do Zoom calls.
Right. Yeah. Zoom does that. You can either have a background or you can fuzz your background.
Right. Okay, good. So Apple TV is the first thing that you mentioned.
Yeah, Apple TV Plus. Everyone should subscribe to that.
That would be
a
good option.
It's only $49 a year, $4.25 a month. You cannot beat that for the kind of stuff that they offer.
Okay.
Hey, what is the Apple Premier plan supposed to do?
The Premier plan?
They called it the Apple Premier. They mentioned it during the demo.
Was that for the sports or for the health stuff? There's a plan for the health because they had a lot of stuff regarding exercise.
You mean Fitness Plus?
Fitness Plus.
No, it was called Apple Premier.
Really?
Yeah.
Because the Fitness Plus
we'll have to watch the video again.
I was wondering if it was like all games or all services or what.
Oh, you mean all in one thing where you get a bunch of services in a package?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've had that for a while.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff that you don't want in that package.
So you don't recommend it, huh?
If you're a gamer... Yeah.
Well, gamer. Yeah, I've noticed some things for fitness, too. Like there was ability to have a shared bicycle riding experiences with others, for example.
Well, that's in the...
That's all in the software.
That's in the watch software.
Yeah, I know, but it's also in a monthly plan that you sign up for.
Oh, yeah. It's called the group workouts, 32 people. You're trying to make Fitness Plus look like a club.
I see. So you feel like you're around other people as you're working out.
So you're a global club.
Yeah.
The Fitness Plus stuff is all being shown in 4K ultra high definition.
So you see
if you're putting it on your 4K television.
Yeah. So in a way, it's kind of creating a little social club with exercise, which is how a lot of people like to do it, right?
That's what made Peloton so popular.
Yeah, if you have friends. If you have
friends you can work out with.
Yeah, and remote friends in other countries and other states and stuff, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you find people that are on your level.
If you're a loner like me, I don't care.
Yeah, or like in our case, we had a lot of intellectuals in the group, too, so it made it fun to both lift weights and talk. You know, so your combination.
You're lifting weights?
No, I did. That was until he moved to Idaho, but anyway. So it looks like that's it for now. Taylor, thanks for coming in for the show.
Thanks,
I appreciate
it. Thanks for having me. We're going to have another event next month.
Oh, I can hardly wait to have you back in the studio.
Those are for the Mac Pros. MacBook Pros.
Yeah, MacBook Pros.
And maybe a Mac Mini Pro.
That's what you want, Mrs. Future.
Maybe a new Mac Mini.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's the M1X processor.
That's the end of October? About a month.
Yeah, we'll see you in a month.
All right. All right. Well, Taylor, have a safe bike ride.
Thanks for having me over.
E-bike.
Love you both.
Love you too, man.
And glad you too, Bobby.
Yeah. Thanks, Taylor. It was great.
Okay.
Yeah. Talk to you soon.
And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Well, take a deep breath after all that. That's a lot of data to absorb with Taylor. Huh?
Felt like a bucking bronco.
Well, I think we got through it. I think one of us stayed on. Rode the ride.
Yeah.
Brought it in for everyone.
Yeah, I was throwing peanut shells from the sidelines.
Well, okay, let's talk about something a little different this hour.
Before we go, there's one emergency software update that Apple announced yesterday.
Yeah, that's interesting.
What happened? Yeah, that seemed like there was a bit of a crisis going on. What happened?
Well, it was kind of a crisis, but...
Security crisis.
As for the last 6 months, they discovered there was an Israeli NSO group software called Pegasus that was found on a Saudi activist's phone. Mm. And it turns out that Apple turned around and updated all their OSs, like on their watch, their phones, their iPads, and the latest Mac OS on your Mac Mini.
Oh, no. So everything needs to be up there. My understanding is that this software allows people to remotely access your camera?
Yeah. It's just like that. And it's a zero-click exploit. So what it means is you don't even have to touch your phone. They can remotely turn it on and off.
Complete remote control.
And who are they?
Well, whoever has the other end.
It's the Israeli NSO group is what they said.
NSO? You mean like Mossad kind of operation?
That's what it looks like, yeah. I'm not quite familiar with the NSO group, but I'll do a little research into it. Yeah,
That's a real back and forth world.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, it also involves another layer beyond government security. You heard of national security, right? But now we're talking multinational security. Black ops operations within companies like Apple.
Right.
And it really exists. And there's a whole world there that's hardly ever talked about and yet has tremendous influence on how things unfold. another vector into this Venn diagram of reality here.
Mm-hmm. How do you maintain your sense of serenity and control? What is your secret?
Surfing. I don't mean on the water. Surfing all those events.
I was trying to imagine yeah. you on
the water. Yeah, no. Yeah, I figure it all out while surfing.
Yeah, your Apple Watch counting your waves.
I start seeing the perfection of it all. As I ride the wave, especially.
I see. So anytime you come across a fearful, concerning headline, you just take it in and then you look for something that cancels it?
Well, you successfully surf a bigger wave.
Oh.
You feel better. Makes your animal happy.
I see. So you figure out, okay, if this gorilla is playing this game, which gorilla is playing that gorilla against the middle?
Yeah, how can you play that energy in a more fun way, ultimately? Surfing is whatever your skills is your happy place. Takes you to your happy place.
Surfing takes you to your happy place.
For me.
Now we know your secret nirvana, according to Dr.
But it's a surfing of other energy, I guess you might call it. So speaking of which, I thought it was quite interesting, that story on personalized brain organoids.
Oh, I like that story. Yeah.
Did you like that?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it only makes sense.
About
it's
that.
The
That's
direction
really
where,
interesting.
You know, as we move more and more into personalized devices like the iPhones and the tablets and the watches, we start going into personalized health, right? There's a lot of health apps now. Well, to even go further, we can actually go into creating models of our bodies externally and then look at them and see what we learn about ourselves. And in this case, you take some of your stem cells and you grow a mini brain of yourself. Okay, and this is becoming very popular in medicine these days as a form of personalized medicine.
Well, everything that's happening in petri dishes, right? I mean, science has really moved into the petri dish world of what can we make with cells?
Yeah.
What can we grow in a little colony on a slide that we can look at?
Well, you can grow your own brain.
Mm-hmm. Right, and so this article talks about some brain cells that were cultured into mini brains.
Right.
And one of them was a regular brain tissue that didn't have any problems, and one of them was from some kind of
Rett syndrome,
which is like epileptic, autistic.
It's a developmental disorder, marked by seizures, autism, stuff like that.
And the way that they described the difference was in the way that these little brain cells created electro signals that, of course,
that's what they were studying. See, what they did is they grew two brains, one of normal and the other,
Abby.
In this case, Abby normal.
Right?
Abby normal. And then you have the two brains. You can see what the differences are. And you can see that in the Rett syndrome brain, the nerve fibers fired off signals that were too synchronized and less varied than a normal brain.
See, I thought that was so interesting because too synchronized and not varied is the difference between a machine like a laser versus sunlight, right? It's too synchronized because what makes a laser is the filter that only allows things that are exactly the same frequency to fit into the device, right? And so it makes it highly concentrated and it makes it very uniform and it excludes all of the other light frequencies. So that, when you compare it to natural sunlight, it's more intense, almost to the point of being dangerous, and it's much more specialized.
So
it can't do all of the same things.
So perhaps what you're saying is the Rett syndrome brain was more laser-like.
Yes, it's more
behavior.
Like a laser in its behavior, and thus it is more limited than the unfettered brain cell.
What does this really mean? Well, they're still trying to figure that out, but there's a lot more scrambling of energy in a normal brain function, and this seemed to be awfully coordinated. Isn't that interesting? Well, we do see that also in other types of problems, too, other disorders.
Well, it's like the argument for liberal arts. We like minds that can go in a variety of unpredictable places more than we like brains that can only go down a narrow pathway to a known conclusion. Just talking about brains.
Yeah.
Not making any accusations here. Just saying.
Coordinated firings.
It looks easier. It looks very easy to do because if you click on that link and then you click on mimic human brains, it looks like they show you how to do it in a petri dish in 56 days.
56 days?
Yeah.
That's the back of my science fiction comic book. Grow your own brain in 60 days.
Yeah.
Money back guaranteed.
Yeah.
Stay tuned, and we've got Mark from Watsonville when we get back from the break.
All right. Okay, welcome back to the show. So, Mrs. Future, we have Mark in Watsonville.
That is correct. Hi, Mark.
Mark, you're on or in the air? Your choice.
Yeah, well, I got two bars here on AT&T, so I should be on the air.
Mm-hmm.
The future of renewable energy seems to be dependent on storage. They got to come up with some way to store the wind power, the solar power.
Like the battery
so
tech.
Can utilize.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what I was reading about down at Moss Landing, they have Vestron Company has a 300 megawatt battery, which is incredible. Hmm. And on Labor Day weekend, you know, you read about Tesla gets in a wreck and the fire department takes 2 days to put the fire out because of lithium ion battery.
Nasty, those batteries and the burning anyway.
Well, Labor Day weekend, this thing caught on fire. And the fire department was there 2 days monitoring it. They have 100,000 lithium ion batteries in that building there just north of the power plant. They're saying it was kind of hidden in the news, but you read the energy periodicals and stuff, and it's a big event. And that thing, they have it shut down right now. And they're trying to determine the cause.
What's the name of the power plant again?
Moss Landing power plant. The building just north of it is Vestron. And LG, I think, which is out of Korea, have built a 300-megawatt battery there. If you Google Moss Landing battery fire, you'll get all kinds of stories on it.
Right.
Again, to me, it's kind of a serious concern on the future of renewable energy that we can't come up with a safe, reliable battery.
There's a lot of work on new types of batteries that aren't as dangerous.
Not as volatile. Just because lithium is a very, it's very reactive.
But lithium iron are less flammable.
Right.
Yeah. Lithium iron phosphate.
And that's what Tesla's using now in, was it Australia?
Yeah.
It
cannot catch on fire like these lithium ion batteries.
Oh, China. Yeah. They're doing it in China.
Yeah, in their cars in China, yeah.
Yeah.
Tesla cars.
But we are all waiting for a big breakthrough in battery storage, charging, and safety.
Yeah, it's still in the early days for the type of power that we need. We need much better batteries. And a tremendous amount of research is going into that. And that's why I mentioned the story of the tower with the garbage hanging from the tower that creates electricity as an alternative. Blocks,
yeah,
concrete blocks.
Did you hear the first hour, Mark? We were talking about battery storage of a novel sort.
Yeah, and it is a problem. There's not enough, but there's an approach that's more like akin to winding up a clock and pulling the heavy weights up to the top, and then they slowly dropping down over time. And as they drop down, they power turbines. You wind them up with when the energy is cheap, in the middle of the day during a solar period. You can just wind up the clock, so to speak. So there are lots of ways in which we're starting to look at storage, but it is still a big issue. And anyone who's got a lot of genius in that arena could probably be the next billionaire, a battery billionaire.
Well, it was kind of interesting. The senior engineer at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory said it was the Goldilocks effect, that these lithium-ion batteries don't like to be too cold, they don't like to be too warm, they like to be just right.
And dainty things.
They didn't hit that medium there. But again, God, 300 megawatts. I knew it was there. I didn't realize it was that big. And then 100,000 lithium-ion batteries in that building.
Amazing. Well, thank you for that information. That's very eye-opening in our own neighborhood.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. That's
great.
Wow, amazing. So we got another caller, Mrs. Future?
We do. We have Richard in Pacific Grove. Hi, Richard.
Hey, Richard.
Hey, hello. You guys are the love of my life.
Sweet.
What do we do now?
So what did this guy just call it, the Goldilocks affair? I mean, if you like it too hot, too cold.
Yeah. He said those lithium-ion batteries are like that they're very picky about their environment.
Yeah, but what did he call it, the Goldilocks?
The Goldilocks effect,
Yeah, like it has to be right, not too hot, not too cold.
Kind of like where we might find life on other systems.
I think that's going to be my new nickname, Goldilocks.
Yeah.
I like that myself.
Because you like it
right? That's great.
Not too hot, yeah, not too cold.
I don't like it too hot. No, I've been in both. I don't like either one of them.
But how have your preferences changed as you get older?
No, I'm a sissy. I've become more of a sissy. I want to be just perfect. I don't want to be in the cold. I don't want to be the hot. I froze up in the mountains. And I sweat it out in the desert. I'm done.
Well, wait a minute. Aren't you living in a very wet, cold, cloudy part of the Bay Area here?
Pacific Grove.
I am, without a doubt. Thank you for noticing that. And I make it a point to jump on my motorcycle and get out of the way all the time. I can only take about 2 days of total fog before I have to get going.
Yeah, come over to this side of the bay where it's sunny a good half the time.
Yeah, not today, though.
Yeah, I know. No. But anyway, you know what? I don't know if you guys talked about it. I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
But I am really getting crazily concerned about the damage we're doing to ourselves with these inhalation of all the poison coming out from the masks. I don't understand how we can keep sucking in that bad air and not suffer some kind of bad circumstances down the line.
Well,
maybe George Carlin was right, and if we want our immune systems to work, we need to give them some practice.
Yeah, so start with your own air, recycled. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm dead serious.
I hear you. No, it definitely, you're not the first to bring up that issue. And it's something that probably needs a double-blind controlled study that will take 3 or more years to do. But I think it's a great idea. We should know more about masks and their potentially
I think you guys missed a turn.
Non-healthful.
I think that really we're not using science anymore. It's really come down
That's
to popularity.
Right, yeah.
It's really popularity,
right.
not science.
A lot of people are, but if you want to be true to your own understanding of things, which hopefully you do, you want to find a way of getting to the truth.
Oh, absolutely. But that's just for me, myself.
And for what
the
you
people
share.
That I am at liberty to speak truthfully to, which, of course, is just limited to those who actually like me as opposed to those who don't like my opinions.
Yeah, and so. 10,000 friends or so here on the local public airwaves.
Yeah. No, I think we're navigating a very strange time of internet reality where we've given over our common sense to the trolls, and we have sort of ceded the great aspects of civilization, like civil discourse and wisdom council consideration of our free speech. And we've just turned that over to whoever has the snottiest, shameful slogan of the day, that somehow those people get to stand in, like, they're truthful and science is their friend, and anybody who disagrees with them is just canceled.
And how does this relate to the idea of cancel culture?
Well, it's a phase that we're going through as we learn to reestablish trustworthy ways of understanding the world and each other. So right now, we've been, the AIs and like the Cambridge Analytical and the people who want to control thoughts have all conspired to create echo chambers of people who can only listen to themselves and cannot listen to anyone who's different from themselves. But that will be transcended to a point where that gets so boring that people want to rediscover diversity, real diversity of thought. And I predict that is going to come soon because it's gotten so boring, like only preaching to your own choir.
Oh, by the way, this is a comment from the troll room about that.
Really?
If I can get back on for a minute.
Yeah,
you're here, Richard.
You're there. Yeah, go ahead.
I think this is why I call you guys, because you just opened up a whole school. Yeah, this is crazy. I told somebody to turn their radio down the other day, and you would have thought I had committed mass murder. I mean, I had no right to. I said, what do you mean? What about my rights? I'm trying to sit here and read a book and enjoy the sun and the nice air, and this guy's blasting this crap out of the. All I did was turn and tell him, we have to be more inclusive in what we want to do. I said, no, we don't. He's got to be inclusive with me.
Well, this brings up a very interesting point, because rights has become the wrong word to use in a discussion about how a decision should be made, right? When two people have a disagreement, then it's either a power struggle or a conversation that can come to an agreement. And if it's a conversation that can come to an agreement, then there are methods that you use when you don't start out agreeing with each other. And one of them is you come up with a win-lose situation where one guy wins and one guy loses. A lot of petty tyrants are using that. Another way that you have that conversation is a win, well, what I call a suicide conversation, where you give up so that you don't have to have the conversation and the other person wins by default. That's the other way of resolving a difference. The third way, which I think is the best way, is a win-win conversation where you start from a place of not agreeing and then you have a way of arriving at an understanding that allows you to resolve it in a way where you both get something that you want.
Like so, a compromise?
Sometimes it's a compromise. Sometimes for The Sopranos, they pretty much turned it into you either take the money or we'll break your knees. You know, I mean, those are, those are persuasion styles. But there's also agreeing to disagree, like in the case of you, Richard, with the person in their radio. So it's loud. You ask them to turn it down. Well, so really the...
Very nicely.
At Burning Man, the way that they handled noise pollution issues is that they put noisy people into the noisy zone so that they could all blast their music to each other and suffer the audio chaos of that with each other. And then they created the quiet zones where they made rules about the fact that after a certain hour it needed to be quiet and everybody agreed. So a lot of times you can create harmony by putting people of like mind into their own silos. And that kind of is what we seem to be doing a lot of now.
Well, thank you very much. I feel so much better now. I
you'll have to put that guy with the radio into his chaotic noise zone, well, and you'll have to establish your quiet zone somewhere out of the range.
There is a tech solution, too. I found a really nice new kind of speakers out. My mother loves it at 91. She uses it all the time, especially for TV. It's a speaker that goes around your neck.
It rests on your shoulders.
Yeah, it looks like a horseshoe you put around, and you get perfect 3D stereo sound. It sounds really good, and nobody around you is much bothered by it.
Yeah, so it's loud volume.
The reality is they want other people to hear how cool they are. You know what I mean? It's just, they want to do this. It's not like they're listening to the music. They want to say, hey, aren't I cool?
Well, there's that. Yeah. Well, that's,
I'll bless it up.
So you think they're bullies.
Always a wonderful discussion.
That's where you're supposed to find out what their needs are,
Richard.
Their real needs
are. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Okay, welcome back to the show. Nice comment, that last one, Gabby. Gabby says, the sound camps. She knows a guy who was stuck between three noisy sound camps at Burning Man one year, driving the guy mad. So he dropped some acid and decided to blast his large monitors in their direction with 3 days of Alan Watts recordings. That should do it.
That'll teach him.
Yeah. So I think that the idea of personal space is going to evolve, and I think the tech will play a role in it. I've often thought that we should be able to create it so that we have a sonic boundary between rooms, even, so that what goes on in one room of a house is not transmit to the next room. And the whole idea of noise cancellation can be taken not just from a headset point of view, but to a room size point of view. And that should be possible, given what we know about sound and technology today.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of great building materials that you can get. You know,
for starters,
Yeah. And you can sound isolate your neighbors or whatever's on the outside and then get special three-pane windows so that there's less sound going through the windows.
But wouldn't it be nice just to bring a gadget into the room and set it in the center and turn it on and it uses LiDAR to measure your room, looks at the sound capacities of the various materials that you have for your walls, even if it's just standard wallboard, maximizes its usage of absorption with what you've got to create a soundproof environment for you. Turn it on and you've got the cone of silence.
Right. Perfect.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
So I think that's a freedom we yet have but our technology could give us.
I've noticed that people are very uncomfortable with silence. Like if you're ever in a crowd situation, there's never silence. There's always somebody filling the silence with their turn to share their thoughts or opinion.
I believe some people create the space for communications while others fill it. And most people fill it. It's like house owner versus occupants.
Right.
Yeah, they both exist. Both worlds exist.
Right. Do you think of people who try to fill space are, what am I trying to say here? Like what Richard was describing is somebody who's an audio bully.
Yeah.
Right? Somebody who just has to be louder than everyone around them because that's their kind of power and nobody can stop them. They can just fill the space until people clear it for them, right? Mm. But is there a way of using that energy in a way that actually builds some kind of positive regard?
You mean if that's such
a... Yeah, I mean, instead of it being a bully who has the biggest fart.
You mean a win-win here, Mrs.
Yeah,
Future?
Yeah, what would be a win-win? I guess it would be if people liked the music that was coming out at that loud amplitude.
Well, I think the way we figured it out in terms of our media is to have channels for it. If you want to listen to, you know, country, you go to a country station. You want to go to death rock, you know, you go to a death rock station.
Uh-huh.
So it's all separated out already. And then the AIs, of course, if you go to Amazon Music, Unlimited, or Pandora or various sources, we all have our playlists that we like. Uh-huh. And there are more and more combinations of playlists being created all the time. I remember in the 80s, so we used to share tapes. We had tape mixes that would be our favorites and we could share them. And the same exists today. It's just more online.
Right. Yeah, actually today, I guess most people control their sound by wearing headphones and filling it with something that they've got in a iPad or a phone or something that they're carrying, right?
Mm-hmm.
So would you like to speak to Steve at Cowles Beach? Maybe he has something to chime in on this.
Absolutely, yeah, bring him on. Yeah.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Futures.
Hey.
Happy Tuesday. Hey, Bobby.
Happy Tuesday, Steve.
I'm kind of sound sensitive myself, and I know it's an issue where I can escalate it in my own mind and make it a big drag.
Yeah.
But I had a great talk with Neil, the window washer, my friend Neil, window cleaner guy.
Mm.
And he's a philosopher, my go-to philosopher.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And he sat down and he said, you know, Steve, he says, if you move to a different living arrangement, you're going to have to accept that now that has changed and your environment has changed. And now there's people around you where before you might have lived where there was not people close by. Now there are people close by. So there's going to be the sounds of humans around you. You will have to adjust to that. Think about that. But yeah, you know, if I lived in New York, I got an apartment in Manhattan, you have to adapt. Northeast San Francisco, you have to adjust to the cable cars and street noise. Like, I put myself in the mindset of, okay, there's people outside that window, there's people out back, there's people out front, there's people to the left. So I live around people. But now I have to accept that reality shift.
Yeah, you change yourself to compensate for the change. Yeah, that's a constantly changing. Yeah, the environment and us are both a constantly changing. And the more it changes, the harder it is to adopt sometimes.
Well, and plus there's no competition between noise and silence. That's like the competition between light and dark. You know, it only takes one candle to light a dark room. It only takes one noise to fill an empty space.
Yeah, from what I've seen is that suffering is caused by being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And so if you're feeling that, very often moving helps. Moving, you know, and get out of that situation.
But if you can't move away from the noise, you can adjust your reaction to the noise.
Oh. And,
yes, your software, your personal software, your meditation.
That's what
learn
you're
to
saying.
Like it.
Yeah.
You're
saying change your behavior, Steve.
Yeah. Well, it's out on the playa. Right. It's like falling in love with the dust, even though it seems like a scourge to you initially.
Be one with that which annoys you.
Yeah.
So, Mrs. Future, so what I actually managed to evolve to an adaptive state of the surrounding, and I also did some physical changes. I use earplugs, and then
earplugs are great.
So when I go to bed at night, I put earplugs in, and then I actually have this pad, a weighted pad that I put over my ear against my plug. So it basically works.
Nice. So you just basically change your noise scape so that it only extends to the edge of your ear. You got it covered from there, huh?
Yeah, exactly. The body is like a big drum. You have to kind of protect the body from the vibration. Uh-huh. So when you're under the covers and you've got your ears packed and stuff, you kind of you can tune it out. So when I'm not in bed during the day, I've noticed that the human sounds no longer penetrate me because I don't acknowledge it. Get used to it. It becomes like background noise.
That's interesting. You know, I've had this conversation about what I call creative hearing, which is where sometimes people who spend a lot of time with each other don't actually hear each other because the noise is just part of the background. And so it's selective, like which things actually get through. Even though the sound levels are the same, it has to do with the content and the tone.
Mr. Future, you can actually tune out noise because there's this great story about Paramahansa Yogananda meditating under a roller coaster. And his disciple came up and said, Master, come on, let's find you a quieter place. And he said, you just disturbed me from one of my deep meditations. I was in bliss. It's like, so that's my message to Richard. You know, Richard can, you can tune out that stuff like that radio guy. You can tune it out.
Yeah, you can, up to a certain point, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, for example, we live up off the grid in Boulder Creek, and it's very quiet most of the time, extremely beautiful. You get used to that non-car, just nature sound. And then we have a neighbor that sometimes is there, and he has a very noisy generator. And he turns that on, and my God, you feel like heaven and hell worlds are intimately intertwined. And then you have to learn how to just cancel out that sound using your own software, using your own brain. And get used to it.
Well, Dr. Future, do you notice that like the first day the neighbor's back with his generator and his dog barking or whatever, you know, it's like this horrible torment. And then the second day, it's like half as tormenting. And then by the third day, like, you don't hear it anymore.
Yeah, you would think. Though when I have to shout to talk to my guests at lunchtime, it still is on my mind. The other way is to take be proactive and negotiate a win-win with the neighbor.
Yeah, that's where you draw the line.
Yeah,
that's where you draw the line.
Turn them on to solar panels.
Yeah, I did. I gave him my old silver panels. But then the problem was solved, finally. Sadly, he died. And it's been quiet there now for a while, which has been really great. However.
Yeah, noise is a great thing to debate. Because personally, I would choose silence and, you know, a little music once in a while. But I can relate to Richard. But, you know, going up to the guy on the towel next to you and to tell him to turn off his radio, I don't know if that's the best approach.
No, my approach, and I think it's possible, is that we all want a personal silence generator. Maybe it's something app that you could build in your iPhone. And you just turn it on and you expand your sphere of influence with how much power you use. You have a sphere.
Sounds like Maxwell Smart.
Like a dome of privacy.
Your dome of silence.
Your dome of silence. Your silence generator expands 10 feet in all directions.
Oh, and Mrs. Future.
Yeah.
Mrs.
Future, your silence is in my zone now. Anyway, go ahead.
I forgot to tell you, when I don't just use the earbuds, but I have white noise going on my tablet.
There you go. So, yeah, substitution works, right?
I fill
put
up
in what I you'd just, rather listen to.
I bombard my room with the sound of rain and thunder.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, ocean waves are good too. White noise.
Right, yeah, that's the one. Like sometimes I use two. I have two tablets, Bobby, and I have waves on one and the rain on the other, and it works.
Nice.
Very interesting. Spheres of influence. You extend your range through taking control of your own sphere of influence. Whatever you can do to improve your experience, I applaud you.
Live long and prosper. Thanks, you guys.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for calling, Steve.
You learn a lot at Burning Man because there's so much noise, and you figure out how can you sleep, and then you figure out, maybe earplugs.
Yeah.
But then what I've noticed is when I fly on airplanes, in order to sleep, I take my noise-canceling earbuds. They're only $100 a pair, I guess, but a little expensive, but it's amazing. I can't hear the airplane noise. You just turn the thing on, put a little...
Yeah, I must say, they really have those dialed in for airplane noise.
Proximity.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And you don't have to actually plug it into anything. You just turn it on. And it cancels the noise automatically.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love that stuff. I just like to have one for whatever environment I'm in.
You know, for your living room.
Active cancellation, I guess.
Exactly.
Okay, well, back to our last 15 minutes in 5 seconds. See you shortly.
You.
Here's some interesting information. There's a study that I read in The Guardian this week about how warm-blooded animals are changing their physiology. So I looked a little more closely at that. Now, it looks like some birds are getting larger beaks and legs and ears. Bigger ears.
Bigger ears?
Yeah.
For climate change?
Well, that's the association, but who really knows? But we're, they think so. The scientists think that the bodies are warm-blooded animals. When they overheat, what do the birds use their beaks for? Well, besides eating and breaking open nuts, they're like a heat sink. They allow heat to be excluded from their body, exuded.
I see.
Yeah.
They breathe like it out, sink. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Also, mammals use their ears to dispense warmth. So the ears, you have big ears, you got overheated brain, you're in good shape. You know, it'll take the heat and dissipate it for you.
Well.
So the animal's getting larger beaks and ears. So the scientists are thinking, well, this means that, you know, they're result of warmer climates. They need to get rid of heat more. But there could be other causes. And there could be the metabolism is higher, for example. And that they're generating more heat, that their cells are needing to create more heat.
Maybe these test subjects were just freaks of nature.
I think it's oncogenes.
You know, what's that?
Oncogenes are where the environment actually, if it's in the genes already, then it's set to be activated. And
oh,
so
that's
obviously
interesting.
In the past, these birds or animals probably went through a heat spell. And so they kept these genes for tens of thousands of
and they're
years,
just reactivating
right?
them now as it's warmer?
Yes, yes, yes.
Uh-huh. They're like, we've been here before.
So like Bruce Lipton likes to talk about the
epigenetics
where
yes,
all these patterns from the past, the useful ones, are activated by certain signals.
So yes. Epigenetics activate oncogenes?
Yeah.
Exactly, exactly.
Ears, tails, and legs in mammals, things not covered by fur, are heat sinks. They allow heat to go out to the environment. So those are getting bigger. Ears, tails, legs, and beaks, if you have a beak.
Hmm.
Yeah, I guess we keep an eye on the critters that are changing like this, and they'll be like, give us a little clue about maybe what's happening next. They keep getting longer.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, interesting study. Put that out there for those that you want to look how we're adapting to the environments. Pretty cool. So we got a caller, Mrs. Future?
We do. One of our faves. It's Wendell from Reno.
Hey,
hi,
Wendell.
Hi, you guys.
Hey.
I just want to say how wonderfully refreshing it is to be able to listen to a program of this nature, because not only is it informative and enlightening, but it's happy, it's refreshing, it's nice to hear all the laughter, and I always learn things when I listen to your program.
Well, thank you.
It's really a pleasant. It's a very pleasant experience to have every week to look forward to, because there's so much drear on the news, and to be able to listen for 2 hours to such a wonderfully amazing program, so well put together, I just can't praise you enough.
Well, thank you.
Gosh, you make us feel so good.
We don't
thank
even
you,
pay
Wendell.
You or anything.
You're right.
No, and I'm not a relative.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
But Bobby, that includes you too, Bobby.
Oh, thank you.
You guys are a great team, and I just want to thank you because, like I say, I really enjoy looking forward to it, and I just feel so good after I hear your program.
Well, oh, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Oh, is there anything in particular you'd like us to talk more about? You have any requests?
Yeah, if you're gonna ask me, I'll tell you. I'd like to hear more about extraterrestrials.
Extraterrestrials. Okay.
Yeah.
Extraterrestrials.
I really think.
Yeah, that's
really
within our purview.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're watching us, and they're observing us, and I think that we're going to be interacting with them in the future.
Okay.
Well, we certainly have a lot of first-person testimonials of people who share those kinds of experiences.
Yes, we do
with
have
us.
We do have a radar on in that direction.
Yeah.
So we'll definitely bring in really, more stories there. That's great.
I think we're really close to disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Greer.
Stephen Greer disclosed 20 yeah. years ago, and some people think that we've been disclosing all along.
Well, it's the confusion between inner and outer worlds.
Mm-hmm.
that's right. part of the issue there, because a lot of people have extraterrestrials coming from inner channels like dreams or from trance states.
Right.
And such. And who's to say what's real or not real there? I mean, if it's real, then like real technical information could be transferred through those channels, or real knowledge about the universe.
I think we're still coming out of the age of authority vested in priests and the idea that we don't have a common language for people who have experiences that are in the faster-than-light thought realm. They're experiencing things in a subjective place that is an energy universe. And some people will tell you that they are seeing the same things from that energy universe. And some people will tell you that it doesn't exist. It's all in somebody's head. So we don't really have a culture that has come together
it's coming together, though.
What's real there.
I think that's what we're figuring out now.
Yeah.
One recommendation for all your listeners who've never seen it, treat yourself to one of the greatest science fiction movies ever made, called The Day the Earth Stood Still. And I'm talking about the original.
Yes.
Michael Rennie was there. Yeah. The Day the Earth Stood Still.
That affected me when I was 4 years old. When I saw that, I was terrified, you know, at 4 years old. But it's great. It's a great movie.
Claude Rains was the Invisible Man. Yeah, Rocky Horror Picture Show intro. The Day the Earth Stood Still. Really, Michael Rennie was great in that as the E.T., that was educating humanity about how we got to get along better or else. I think in that story, they had a race of robots that maintained peace through the galaxy. And if once you signed up with them, if you broke the peace, then they would destroy you.
Mm. Yeah.
So, so that's one solution.
Was there a safe word that they used?
Yeah. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take over my neighbors. Well, it leaves a lot to be understood in terms of what real justice is in the long run. But it brought up the idea that there's intelligences in the universe that have figured these things out. And that it would behoove us as a sentient species to know what is out there. And it will be revealed to us as we're capable of handling it.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, I believe that. Well, anyway, have a wonderful rest of the week.
Thank you.
And God bless you all, and thank you again.
Oh, yeah, appreciate it, Wendell.
Always thank you.
It's so wonderful to hear from you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Keep you in mind as we keep it cheery.
And, not to bring it down or anything, but I would like to say that keep an eye open on this Intercept story in the COVID world, because the Intercept revelations.
The Intercept, that fabulous journal of undisputable scientific information.
Yeah, that one, you know.
What has got your attention there, my dear?
Yeah, that there's new evidence that draws a larger link, a link between NIH funding to risky gain-of-function research that might have actually gone on to China.
I see.
And it's a Freedom of Information Act.
So the Intercept says, there is gain-of-function research.
And a lot of the conspiracy theories go that the virus was developed here and then moved to China
at a certain point. Do you have a link to it?
Yeah. You have the one on the Hill.
I have the YouTube movie on the Hill. That's really good. Okay, we got one more caller before
we finish the show. One more caller and one more minute.
Okay.
Krishna, welcome to the show.
Hey, Krishna. How are you?
Hello there. I heard this business, you were talking about the birds that are changing their faces.
Their beaks.
I'm reading Charles Darwin's Origin of Species, and I don't know if you read it, and I find it a long slog, but I like it very much.
Oh, good. It's from another era. But,
so what have you gleaned from it?
And it says that when we change, it takes a long, long time, but we actually change and we become another species.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It takes an awfully long time.
Seems
to have been done very fast.
Yeah. Well, I think our scientists today have better tools, so a very small change in beak size can be discerned. Well, he did not have the equipment for looking at very small changes and studying thousands of animals. So it's a lot easier today. But he was in the right direction in that they do change. And one of the reasons why they change is the shift in the environment. And
we did come from fish, right?
Don't you remember?
Don't you remember the Big Bang? I was really ecstatic.
That's I do like to eat fish, though.
Me too.
Yeah, there's something that's fishy. Right. There's
Thanks,
a certain
Krishna.
The smell will tell, as they say.
Bye.
It's fishy, it's good.
Thank you. All right, we're saying goodbye, but Colonel Terry is on the line.
Sorry, thanks. Say goodbye to everyone, Colonel Terry.
Yeah. Quickly.
Yeah. Go.
20 seconds.
China Uber Alice a week ago. The Berkeley professor, he's got the facts on the virus.
Yeah, that was a great show.
How the Chinese developed it.
I'll put a link to that. Thank you.
KSCO, Professor Marshall, Santa Cruz.
Emeritus professor from Berkeley.
Yeah, very interesting. Yes.
Michael Rennie was ill the day the earth stood still, but he told us where we stand. And Flash Gordon was there in silver underwear. Claude Rains was the invisible man. Then something went wrong for Fay Wray and King Kong. They got caught in a cellular jam. Then at a deadly pace, it came from outer space. And this is how the message ran. Fiction, double feature, Dr. X will build a creature. See androids fighting, Brad and Janet. Double feature, picture show.